before the scripture, this prayer. Lord, may your word be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and the greater glory of Jesus Christ our supreme concern. Amen. Well, scripture today is from the 25th chapter of Matthew, the first 13 verses, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, slightly different from the New International Version you have in your pews or may have before you. Listen to the word of God. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. And when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You better go and get the dealers. Go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, friends of Abundant Life Reformed Church, here's my question. What is the deal with these selfish women in this parable? I mean, is this really a glimpse into how God works? Is this how we define a wise person? As one who cares for herself and her own needs before anyone else. Plenty of people have difficulty with this passage, including the one preaching on it today. These harsh words still get to me. "Lord, open to us. Truly I tell you, I do not know you." Could there be anything more horrifying to hear? The door is shut, and those on the outside are excluded forever. Plus, there is much in this parable that seems to fly in the face with others of Jesus' teachings. The wise and the foolish bridesmaids, for instance, play havoc with the Sermon on the Mount. "I tell you," Jesus says, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will wear. Your heavenly Father knows your needs. Worry about your oil. That's the main thing. Make sure that you have plenty and let others fend for themselves." Or, "in everything, do unto others as you would have them do to you." Unless it means sharing your oil. And then, any rules go out the window. It's every person for her or himself. This is one challenging story. Thankfully, it is not the only description of the kingdom of God. Still, it bears close scrutiny because Jesus spoke it. "The kingdom of heaven will be like this," Jesus says, and he tells the story of the 10 bridesmaids. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. Note that, not 5 are bad and 5 are good. All are awaiting the bridegroom. Weddings in Jesus' day are joyous affairs. I'm thinking that during this pandemic, I'm not sure if there have been weddings here in this sanctuary, but they are so changed over these past 6 months. We have four daughters, Mary and I, and each wedding was unique and special. One was 9 years ago this month in Warwick was the wedding, and it was outdoors, and I've never watched the Weather Channel so much. And the day of the wedding was overcast and cloudy. The wedding happened, it was wondrous with a great deal of mud, but a wonderful time. But in Jesus' day, joyous affairs, and the custom is for the bridegroom to set out at night with his attendants and meet the bride in her home. And then the entire wedding party weaves through the streets of the village in a grand procession to the home where the newlyweds will share. And torchlights and lamps illumine the way. But the bridegroom is delayed, and all 10 bridesmaids fall asleep. At midnight, the shout goes up. Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And they fire up their lamps, but 5 of them look at their wicks that are barely flickering in the night breeze. Oh, they say, we're in trouble. Quick, to the other 5. Lend us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No way. There's not enough to go around. Go find a merchant and buy some oil for yourself. At midnight? What's going on? By the time their oil is replenished, the wedding banquet is underway. Here we are, and they pound on the door. Let us in. No, the bridegroom's voice from behind the door. Truly I tell you, I do not even know you. End of story. So what is going on? This is a teaching about readiness for the Lord's return, readiness in the face of delay. The bridegroom is Jesus in the story, and the bridesmaids represent the church, and the delay is this long interval between Jesus' first coming and his return. And the strange midnight arrival reflects the idea that the Messiah will come at an entirely unexpected time. And then the stern warning, therefore keep awake, for you know not neither the day nor the hour. 2,000 plus years since this story was told, the kingdom is still delayed. Delay is all that we have ever known. So how do we live? How do we maintain a sense of expectancy in this interim? That's the focus of Jesus' teaching. Decide for Christ before it is too late. Be ready, be prepared. And there's that underlying current. Our choices have consequences. Anna Carter Florence is a wonderful preacher, and I appreciate so much the insights, the twists that she gives to this passage. I heard her preach on this passage, it was perhaps 15 years ago, and I took copious notes. She cites there's much information that we're not given in this parable of Jesus. We do not know, for example, if the wise bridesmaids who did not share their oil were generous in other areas. We do not know if the foolish ones had barrels of oil back home while the wise ones brought all they had. The parable does not reveal motives or extenuating circumstances. The only concern is what the 10 brought with them when they left home. That is significant. The oil you carry with you is the key. That's the criteria for determining who is wise and who is foolish. When the foolish took their lamps, they brought no extra oil. But the wise brought extra flasks of oil with them. That's crucial because when your lamp goes out, the oil you have back home will do you no good. I read a magazine article about a woman who took a solo 4-day kayaking trip down the Hudson River. And yet, with all her preparation, she failed to bring spare batteries for her camera. A handful of shots and she was done. No spares. No barges floating on the Hudson River carrying an extra supply of AA batteries. No one to ask. It was a fine article. But with one photograph someone had taken of her sliding her kayak into the river, into the water. But according to Jesus, this is her own dilemma. When your batteries go out on the Hudson River, the batteries you have back home will do you no good. When the oil in your lamp runs low, the oil you have back home will do you no good. What is the oil for you? Think on this. What do you require to keep your spiritual batteries charged? That's a question that each of us will answer differently, but think on this. What is it that fills you up spiritually? You have to figure out what it is, and then make certain that you have extra reserves on hand, because here is the thing, you will run low. And we have learned this so well during this pandemic. When routines are turned upside down or vanish altogether, what keeps you close to Jesus? It's a question I've asked of friends in recent weeks, and I should have asked it this morning when I came and met with some of you here. What is it that you need to keep your spiritual batteries charged? I won't put you on the spot right now. But what are you doing to keep your spiritual, the oils of your spiritual life replenished? In speaking with different friends, here, some, first of all, mention what they missed so much. Worship. They need this time in community to gather with others, to sing and to pray, to hear God's word. Life has been thrown off kilter, and so they become antsy and short-tempered, restless. So in the interim, we have virtual worship. Some have come to thrive on it, others not so much. Hearing or reading the faith stories of others, hearing how God is moving, is very oil replenishing for many. Several cited virtual small groups that they're meeting over Zoom or putting chairs outside 6-8 feet apart, meeting at a distance for prayer and study of Scripture, holding one another accountable. They need that contact. Too long solo and they grow spiritually stale. Others have, over these months, developed a more personal devotional time. No one else can do this for us, by the way. It is so easy to slink into lazy patterns. But some have discovered a new purposeful devotional time, scripture or other spiritual reading, intentional prayer. On a personal note, since March, I have pulled off the shelf books of prayers that I have had for years, unread. And I like so much the way that others are forming their prayers. I read them devotionally. That's been enriching. All sorts of other devotional reading, helping to keep me fresh. I need time in the pages. My wife and I hike just about every day. We live in the Poconos. 2 miles we normally go, often in silence, alone with our thoughts, listening to what God may be saying. And I'm sure there's people watching right now that find a hike or getting outside, some runners, some joggers, they find that replenishing. Music, one friend cited opera, another classical music. Gardening, working in the soil, nurturing growth. Servanthood, acts of caring. Writing short letters, short notes of encouragement. You have to figure out what it is that works for you, what it is that spiritually fuels you, and then make certain you have extra reserves on hand. Because one thing is certain, you will run low. And we cannot borrow spiritual reserves from another. I cannot say, give me some of your reverence for God's word. Fill me up with your prayer life. Give me some of your passion for Jesus Christ. Oil does not transfer that way. 10 bridesmaids went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were ready for the delay. To bring extra oil was the signal that they would be prepared when the bridegroom came, whether it be early or late. They chose to act upon what they could influence, whether or not they had oil. Act on that rather than factors beyond their control, such as the timing of the groom's arrival or when this pandemic will finally dissipate. Wise ones today hold on to faith deep into the night. They continue to serve and to hope and to pray and to believe and to wait, keeping their spiritual reserves replenished in a world where it is so easy for discouragement to gain the upper hand. We have Jesus' promise that he will return, a promise from the God who keeps his word and who expects our readiness in the face of delay. To love the Lord our God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbor as ourself, that is the essence of a lamp-ready life. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. 5 brought a replenishment of oil. You do not fill your lamp because you're afraid that you will be locked out, but because you cannot wait to meet the bridegroom when he comes, which he will. Amen. Lord, we pray that we would take this teaching of Jesus on oil replenishment and use it to charge, to enrich, to fill our own life. Thank you for your word that is replenishing in itself. Thank you for your spirit to guide and shape us. In Jesus' name, amen. May we profess together what we believe, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.